You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. The NBA schedules have been released, which means we have something to look at, overanalyze, break down, and really drive ourselves crazy over. For the remainder of August, today's Locked On Kings podcast is all focused around the 2019-2020 Sacramento Kings schedule right here for you on the Locked On Podcast Network. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. It does not matter. Year-round Kings coverage. You can count on it right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. My name's Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And normally I fly solo on these podcasts, except when I have guests, but I am the only host. I don't usually have a co-host, but I brought in a friend of mine, a co-worker of mine from Sports 1140 KHDK. You've heard him before on the Locked On Kings podcast. Actually, he was on Locked On Kings just a couple weeks ago during our Wild West series as we were breaking down the Western Conference and how the Kings potentially could work their way into the top eight in the West and make their way into the postseason for the first time in 13-plus years. Jay Mars from KHDK's morning show, The Drive, 6 to 9 a.m., is kind enough to be back to join me, and he and I together are going to be breaking down this entire schedule going top to bottom. So buckle in, get ready. We're going to discuss everything for you, and we want you to be involved as well. If you have questions, comments, anything about this schedule, send them to me at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also reach Jay on Twitter at JMarZZ. That's two Z's at the end. And then you can email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com at any time. Let me know which of these matchups you're excited about. Your thoughts on the national games or lack thereof for the Sacramento Kings, which we'll get into. Everything is fair game. Be involved in the conversation. Be involved in the podcast. And let's talk schedules and let's get through this month of August into September, into October, where everything will begin. Now I introduce or bring in Jay Mars into the conversation. Jay, schedule release days are one of my favorite days, although it always leaves me feeling empty inside because ultimately we finally have dates and we finally can mark on our calendars when things are going to take place. But then you realize still how far away it is. October 23rd.
That's a long time.
A long time.
That's the one thing about NBA preseason. That's why I look forward to NBA preseason so much. It's not because preseason basketball is good. It's just I have the Kings in uniform on a court. And they're starting off the preseason in India this year, which, yeah. I don't know. Are those games televised?
I believe they are. I actually know we're going to have a radio broadcast of them on KHDK. The G-Man will be going. I assume they'll be televised in some capacity, certainly in India.
Yeah, because I know the Friday game, I believe that's a 6 a.m. start time. So if you're a Kings fan, you might want to take that day off of work. It's the first time we get Kings basketball at 6 a.m. You know what? Postmate yourself some really good breakfast and celebrate Kings basketball with us. But we're here to talk about the actual regular season schedule. And, you know, Matt, once again, the schedule gods not very nice to the Kings. This seems to be a thing.
You know, I was looking at a schedule and look, when you're a really, really good team, you don't tend to care that much about the schedule. I don't remember as a kid, and I don't remember fan bases and radio stations breaking down the Kings' schedules between 1999 and 2006. But now that we are in the era that we're in, where social media is present, I mean, the NBA TV did a whole schedule release show, which I actually thought was fantastic.
Yeah,
I had
great.
That open. I had that on in the background, and it was exciting for me, something they should do more. I know different networks like the NCAA does it for March Madness brackets and things like that. I love it. It gives you something to talk about, something to watch, and something to get excited about in the middle of August when there's literally nothing. Well, actually, I wish we were in the middle of August. We're still kind of at the beginning of August.
It's the 13th today. That's what day we're recording. That's pretty much the middle.
All right, close enough. Well, either way, we're in August, and it's the dead month for NBA. So to have a schedule release show and to have this for us to break down and really talk about is good from our perspective as people who are in sports media and NBA media and an NBA heavy market, but it just gives us something, like I said, to get amped about and get excited about. And normally, Kings fans look at schedules, look at the teams that the Kings are, for the most part, worse off against and think, oh, God, this might be a rough year. I looked at the schedule and I thought, okay, it's what I expected. Like, I thought it was pretty balanced, pretty even. The first thing I looked at, I know a lot of people immediately went to the national TV games. First thing that I looked at was longest road trip and longest homestand to see were the Kings screwed over with an 8-game road trip randomly in the middle of here, or how many 3-game and 4-night type scenarios do they have. And it was relatively balanced. Now, we're going to get into these more in detail. But I got to say, seeing this schedule didn't change my expectation that this team, by the end of the year, will be in a very tight playoff race. And even though there are some tough stretches on this schedule, Jay, I still expect this Kings team to have a legitimate shot at the playoffs.
Oh, as well they should. I mean, and what I mean, the schedule gods aren't nice to the Kings. There's a couple things that stick out to me. Number one, they have 6 different times that they're going on 4-game road trips, and then you throw in a 5-game road trip. So essentially, that's a lot of road trip stretches.
Yeah.
You know, starting off the year, let's just go to game one at Phoenix, because after Phoenix, you got Portland, Utah, and Denver. The Kings have to come out and make a statement in that opening game, because they got 3 very tough opponents following a pretty lackluster Phoenix Suns team. The Kings are so much better than them. They should go in there and dominate in that first game. And you kind of need to set the tone that way.
And it's important to mention, too, games 2 and 3, which is home at Portland and then at Utah, are back-to-backs.
Yeah.
And the Kings open up the season with 3 games and 4 nights.
Right.
So, personally, as a fan, I love that. I want Kings basketball on every night. As a player, it really drags on you. I'd rather get them out of the way at the beginning of the year than towards the end of the year. But you're absolutely right. You're looking at that Phoenix game, and the last time the Kings opened up their regular season on the road was in Phoenix, 2016-2017. They beat the Suns, and this is a very, not just a very winnable game. Let's be honest. We expect the Kings to be 1-0 heading home for the home opener against the Portland Trailblazers, and I put them as a legitimate candidate to beat the Portland Trailblazers in Sacramento. So they do have opportunity to get off to a strong start. And the major difference that I'm noticing from this, or with this season compared to last season, is last season was very Eastern Conference heavy,
yes,
especially on the road. They got their Eastern Conference road trips out of the way immediately, which is one of the reasons why, in my opinion, they got off to such a good start.
Oh, absolutely.
This one, a little more balanced, although a lot of Eastern opponents still early on in the season.
Right, and let's just kind of look over these first 10 games real quick. Let's just do quick glance, way too early predictions. All right, you have them at Phoenix. You got that as a win or a loss?
Absolute win.
I have it as a win, too. Portland at home, game 2.
I have them as a win.
I have them as a win, too. At Utah?
Loss.
I have it as a loss. Denver at home?
Loss.
Loss. I have that as well. Charlotte at home?
Win.
Utah at home?
Win.
Okay, I have the same for you. So we're looking at right there, what, 4-2?
4-2 start.
Okay, then you go to New York for game 7.
Win.
I have that as a win. At Toronto?
Loss, but close.
Okay. At Atlanta?
Win.
Win. And then finally, back home against Portland again. They got Portland in games 2 and 10 at home.
Loss.
Wow. So is that what, 6-4 or 5-5?
6-4. I have them 6-4 through the first 10 games. The only reason why I'm giving them a loss with that second Portland game, and it could be the alternate. They could lose the first game against Portland at home and then win the second game at Portland. I think the Kings and Portland Trailblazers are going to be very even playing fields this season. Now, that's, some people are going to roll their eyes at that because Portland's already an established playoff team. They have Damian Lillard, added Hassan Whiteside, have a much more established backcourt. But I look at Portland and I look at Sacramento roster for roster. I look at the talent, especially in the starting lineups, and I think, you know, these two teams match up very, very well with one another, and I don't think are that different in terms of schemes, playing style, and overall what they are. Hassan Whiteside might make a major defense on, or difference on the defensive end of the floor, but if I don't know how many times they play Portland, I assume 4 times.
Yeah,
I expect it to be 2-2 by the end of the year.
See, I think they could almost be 3-1. You bring up Hassan Whiteside, the center position is really interesting for Portland because Nurkic is still out.
Yeah.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Zach Collins is out right now. And that would pretty much leave Hassan Whiteside as your starting center. And if you're the Kings and you're playing Dwayne Dedmon, you're pulling him away from the basket on the defensive end.
That's true.
Which should allow Marvin Bagley to go to work in the post on a lot of those defensive rebounds. If you can pull the center position out for Portland, they're going to have trouble with the Kings.
Whiteside has had a lot of success, though, against the Kings in the past,
sure,
mostly because they haven't had anything to counter him on both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. You bring in Dwayne Dedmon into the conversation, maybe even Marvin Bagley at certain points, Harry Giles at certain points as well. We'll see how the Kings are able to figure that out. No one's afraid of Hassan Whiteside.
Sure.
But he can be a decent enough difference maker to give Portland a little bit of an edge. That's my point in the entire thing. Support for today's show comes from Manscaped, who is number 1 in below-the-belt men's grooming. You may have seen Manscaped on Shark Tank, and Men's Journal named the Lawnmower 2.0 as one of the best tools in men's grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That is LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Before we continue just diving into the schedule and looking at different packages of games, I mentioned the Kings open up the season with a back-to-back. They open up the season in Phoenix and then have a back-to-back immediately after that. They have 13 back-to-backs this season, which is the most any team's had was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So they're towards the top, but they're not the worst. I mean, that's welcome news to us. But here are the teams, all the teams that they will take on the second night, because the second night's what's important. The first night, it's pretty much a standard game.
Right.
Second night, you're a little bit winded. And I always look at this and I think sometimes you get scheduled losses in these situations. And I immediately looked at all of these opponents and I was a little disappointed with how many, one, are on the road, the second night of a back-to-back on the road, and two, how many are playoff teams. So listen to this. First of the first team they're facing on the second night of a back-to-back is, like we mentioned at the beginning of the season, the Utah Jazz. That's in Utah. Then they're in Boston, in Houston, in Milwaukee, in Denver, in Phoenix, in LA. This is in order, by the way.
Lakers or Clippers?
Clippers. Then against San Antonio at home, in Memphis, against Toronto at home, in New Orleans, against Cleveland at home, and against Golden State at home. 9 of those 13 teams that they're playing on the second night of a back-to-back were playoff teams last year. And all but four are on the road.
Yeah, and when you were going through that, I gave them 5 wins in there, and that was me being very generous.
Yeah.
Very generous.
Right.
That is a super difficult stretch. That's a stretch of games where if we're looking at this at the end of the 82-game season, you could see the Kings going like maybe 2-10, 3-9 in those stretches. That can make or break the Kings as far as a playoff team getting in this
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. I think we're going to be looking at their record on the second night of back-to-backs as a very significant difference maker. I put that up there with their record against the Eastern Conference for the difference between this team being a fringe team and actually making the postseason.
Right. No, and that's a great point. And I want to go, if you don't mind, jump to the last 5 games of the season.
April as a whole.
April as a whole is very interesting. If you look at the Kings, I believe last 15 games are interesting because they're going to go on a 4-game road trip, come home for a 6-game homestand, back on the road for a 4-game road trip, and then finally at home against Golden State. That's brutal.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch.
And then you look at that last stretch, that last 5 games, at San Antonio, at Minnesota, who Minnesota obviously is not a great team, but they're not a walkover. You're not going to walk over Minnesota. Then you're at Denver. You're at the Lakers, and you wrap up at home against the Warriors. Again, when we're looking at this team down the stretch and they're fighting for an 8 seed, those last 5 games can mean everything. And 4 of the 5 on the road is going to make it very difficult.
Context is extremely important. And no matter what we do, we will not have proper context during today's breakdown. We could be in a situation, and what we're hoping is the Kings are going to be in a situation where that final stretch of games that you just listed off, the Kings are going to be fighting to win every single one because it's the difference between 9th, 8th, or maybe even 7th in the West. And, I mean, I'm hopeful, personally, that the final game of the regular season, which is at home against the Golden State Warriors, how cool would it be if both were locks to make the playoffs and it was a battle between the loser gets 8th seed and the winner gets 7th seed? Like, I'd be thrilled. And the Kings might be in a position to get somewhere like that, but we also have to take into account, Jay, there are teams in here, San Antonio, Denver, the Lakers, twice, the Clippers.
Yeah.
Those teams might be well cemented into the playoffs with older talent thinking, okay, we're going to rest down the stretch. So there could be a couple scheduled wins in there.
Yeah, that would be ideal for the Kings, especially those top tier teams in those last 5 games. I think the Lakers have a great chance, as long as they stay healthy, to be in there resting guys. That's your second to last game. And I can tell you right now, if the Lakers have whatever seed they have clinched up, LeBron James and Anthony Davis won't be playing. Like, they will be on quote-unquote load management going into the playoffs. So you're right. No, you really hope those two teams, or excuse me, that team is in there. I know San Antonio, I think, will be fighting towards the end. Minnesota could be in tank mode, which you would obviously like, because then that's, you know, kind of a win. Denver's right in there with the Lakers. Denver might be one of those teams that, again, has their seeding already locked up. And while you can never schedule a win in Denver just because of, obviously, the altitude issues and the home court advantage there, it'd be really nice if they're resting their top players down the stretch.
Absolutely. I tend to agree with you there. Another important note is, yes, it's a brutal month of April for the Sacramento Kings. The San Antonio Spurs, who many are pegging the Kings to be competing against for that final playoff spot, the Spurs have a brutal month of April as well. I don't have it open in front of me, but it's relatively similar in terms of opponents, which means the stars, at least as of now, are aligning for a very intense race. And honestly, I don't think that's coincidence. I think that's by design for the NBA.
Oh, it's super by design. They want those tight races coming down the stretch. And again, providing context, though, this is the same conversation we had about San Antonio and the Kings' schedules last season down the stretch. We looked at San Antonio like, wow, man, they got a brutal stretch coming up. The Kings, it's not easy, but it was like second or third, you know, easiest schedule in the NBA. The Spurs got on a hot run to make that push for the playoffs, and the Kings faded out. I hope we don't see that again. I don't want that to be repeated. But that's just why, you know, it's fun talking about these schedules now, because at the end of the day, when we get down into April and we evaluate what we thought, you know, during this time, it's going to be interesting to compare the two.
I'm looking for disastrous, terrifying road trips. And I got to tell you, Jay, I'm really not finding any that strike intense amounts of fear. Now, there is one early on in December at Portland, at San Antonio, at Dallas, at Houston. There are groups like that that could be a little concerning. The Kings also have a pretty tough Eastern Conference road trip early on in the season at the end of November at Washington, at Brooklyn, at Boston, at Philadelphia. Even their five-game road trip, which is right at the end of January, heading into February, is at Utah, at Miami, at Detroit, at Chicago, at Minnesota. This is the first time in a long time. Now, the Kings are going to have to find a way to be a 500 team on the road and an over 500 team at home if they're going to make the playoffs. But this is the first time in a long time where I'm looking at road trips and I'm not looking at, man, the Kings would be lucky to get one, maybe two wins or even sniff 500. I expect the Kings to be competitive, extremely competitive on the road this year. And there are clumps of games where I'm looking at, I mean, not only could the Kings go 500, maybe they can even steal a win or two and find themselves a game or two above 500 on a four-game road trip.
Right, and we saw that last year, them stealing some games on some road trips. And I want to bring up, again, you brought up this four-game road trip. This is the most difficult one of the season. It's in December, early December. It's at Portland, and then you got the Texas Triangle, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston. Other than that, like, look at these clusters of road trips. You know, the first one, Brooklyn, Washington, Boston, and Philly. Washington, obviously, going to be a very beatable team in there. You know, the Kings, I think, can compete with the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think Brooklyn's that great. I don't think swapping Kyrie Irving for D'Angelo Russell puts them in this stratosphere where they're this super-duper ultra-good team. Then I'm going down, and now let's look at another December four-game road trip. Golden State, tough. But then you got Charlotte, which is a very winnable game. Indiana will be tough. And then you have Memphis, which is another game you should win. So a lot of these road trips, to your point, you're right. You're kind of split, where you have two games in the road trip that are against really tough teams. And a game, and those are games you want to at least get one of those for, obviously, confidence and to show that you're a very competitive team. But the other two games in a lot of these road trips are very winnable games for the Kings. And they should be going into these road trips with the idea that, hey, if we go 2-2, we're solid.
Yeah. And the one thing that's important to note as well is, even on that really long road trip, the Kings won't spend more than 10 days on the road consecutively at all this season. Like, 10 days is the most, and that's that five-game road trip in January, which is nice to see, not only from a Kings fan perspective of, we don't have to wait 2 weeks to a month before Kings basketball returns to the Golden 1 Center, but it's also good for the players knowing, man, they don't have to deal with a rodeo road trip type scenario that the San Antonio Spurs have to deal with every single year. Also, want to go back to the back-to-backs thing. It's a distinct advantage when you're playing a team on the second night of a back-to-back, but you are rested. I mean, it's a very distinct advantage.
Yeah.
And luckily, the Kings are going to have that advantage 11 times this year. In those 11 games, I don't know who the opponents are. I haven't checked them right in front of me. I just know that there are 11 of them. The Kings have to find a way to win a minimum 7 or 8 of those games.
I had that pegged. If you can go 8-3 or 7-4 on those teams coming in on a second night of a back-to-back, that can help counteract the difficult back-to-back schedule the Kings have of their own. Because like we said, we look at the Kings, what did you say, 12 or 14 games that they're the second team, they're the They're the team playing on the second night of a back-to-back.
They are. They have 13 backs, back-to-backs this season. They play 11 games where they're playing an opponent on the second night of a back-to-back, but they are not on the second night of a back-to-back. And then they have 9 games where the Kings played the night before, but their opponent has not, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense, and you might have to rewind and hit that listen because back-to-backs can be somewhat difficult to keep track of.
Right.
But, yeah, you need to win in those games because you have to counteract the nights where you are the team that's coming in on the second night of a back-to-back. And like we highlighted earlier in the podcast, there are some very difficult games. You're looking at that. The Kings can only – there's a chance they win 2 or 3 games as the team on the second night of those back-to-backs. You're going to have to counter that by going like 7-4, 8-3 when you are the team that is rested and you got someone coming in on the second night of a back-to-back.
Here's the best way I can put it. There are 11 games where the Kings have the advantage and only 9 games where they have the disadvantage.
Well, there you go. And if you can take those, so that's 20 games, and you can go 500 or a game or two over 500, that's a win.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a win. That's definitely a win. I would almost expect them to go over 500 there. But, of course, Jay, what is everybody talking about?
They're
talking about the
TV.
National TV schedules, and everybody immediately runs to the schedule go, which teams are going to be favored? Look, here's what we knew for sure. This season, no matter what happens, this season is going to be the year of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
So the New Orleans Pelicans have 20 national games this year.
Jeez.
20. Kings have 1. And their 1 national game is at home against the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm not offended at all by Zion and the Pelicans getting that much run.
Sure.
The Clippers have more than anybody. Of course they do. It's Kawhi with Paul George in LA with the Clippers. The Los Angeles Lakers with AD and LeBron, not far behind. To be honest with you, I am okay with the national schedule. However, I do understand. I really do understand fans who are frustrated or offended, feeling disrespected by the fact that the Kings last year, as a less established core, had more national TV games than they do this year. Like, that's pretty eye-opening, and I understand the NBA can only hand out so many national games, and they want to try and find a balance, and every team has to have one.
Right.
But to give the Kings, the exciting young core that is the Kings that universally everybody was talking about last year, is this team is really fun to watch. To give them just 1 national TV game and it's an ESPN game, not even NBA on TNT, like that's pretty interesting.
It's kind of a slight, and I want to provide context because everyone's like, well, they had more nationally televised games last year. Yeah, between TNT and ESPN, they had 2. So, we're talking about 1 game.
And we didn't expect them to drop.
No, we sure didn't. We didn't expect what we saw last year. Yeah. I just have to wonder, as the season progresses, let's say Zion Williamson, doesn't quite live up to the hype. Or maybe he gets hurt. And you got this young upstart Kings team who is winning games and in playoff competition. They got it. I know in the NFL they have flexes where they can flex the team out and flex the team in. Do they have that in the NBA?
I don't know if they have flexes specifically, but they do have write-in games. And
okay.
A lot of us are expecting that the Kings will be getting write-in game opportunities.
I can see them getting a lot of the Tuesday night fan night on NBA TV where, fans go to vote in games to see who you want to see play that night. I could see the Kings getting that. But to your point, on the write-in games, if the Kings are hot, I expect to see the Kings on national TV more than just one time.
Especially a Kings versus Lakers battle in Sacramento or a Kings versus Clippers battle in Los Angeles. There are going to be, and especially if the Kings are in a massive playoff race down the stretch, almost every game will be followed at that point.
And how about, like, to your earlier point, if the Kings and the Golden State Warriors are competing along the same lines for a playoff spot, man, Golden 1 Center and the Chase Center are going to be insane.
Yeah.
That is something you're going to want to spotlight on national TV.
Alex Kramers, who works for the Sacramento Kings, he's a fantastic follow on Twitter, and I absolutely encourage you to do so. He's the one that writes most of the content that you'll read on KHDK.com or on the Golden One. I'm sorry, on SacramentoKings.com or on the Golden One Center app or Kings app. He listed the national TV games for the Kings by year. In 2012, the Kings had 4 games on NBA TV. Now, NBA TV is kind of the stepchild of national TV.
Right.
Because they take the local broadcast and they broadcast it on their national channel. But
yeah,
it's not really a national TV game. But they had no ESPN or TNT games in 2012, just 4 on NBA TV.
Nor should they have.
I know. In 2013, they had 1 game on ESPN and 5 on NBA TV, 0 on TNT. In 2014, 1 on ESPN, 2 on TNT, 4 on NBA TV. in 15, 2 on ESPN, 2 on TNT, 9 on NBA TV. 16, 1, 1, and 9. 17, 3, 1, and 8. Last year, 0 on ESPN, 1 on TNT, and 4 on NBA TV. And then this year, 1 on ESPN, 0 on TNT, but 7 on NBA TV.
Very interesting. Very interesting. What is that? Read the 2014 number one more time.
In 2014, which was their second best year, at least on this list for national TV games, 1 on ESPN, 2 on TNT, and 4 on NBA TV.
And what year was it that they were 2-2 ESPN?
That's 2015. 2 on ESPN, 2 on TNT, and 9 on NBA TV.
I'm trying to think back why they would have had that many games on four nationally televised games. Because that 2015, that's the, maybe with the Rajon Rondo signing. And, they were competing for a playoff spot.
DeMarcus, Rudy Gay.
George Karl.
Yeah, George Karl, too.
that was a fun storyline.
That was before the Golden One Center as well. So no Golden One Center boost to that either. But that's interesting to get that list and to see, okay, how the Kings fared. And all in all, I don't think we expected there to be a drop-off from last year to this year, but there is. Here's the thing that the Kings can do about it. You have one national TV game scheduled, and it's against the darling story of the NBA, who hasn't done a damn thing yet, but is getting 20 national TV games because he and Zion, and we're talking about Zion here, is expected to be the next LeBron James. Here's how you send a clear message to the NBA and the national audience that you should not be giving this kid 20 national TV games. We deserve some of them. When they come into your building, and let me get the date for you because it's in March. I think it's March 11th. Yes. On Wednesday, March 11th, a 7 o'clock tip-off, Kings and Pelicans in Sacramento, broadcasted on ESPN. If the Kings want to send a clear message, you embarrass the Pelicans that night. You make it, don't make it a contest, not a game. Last year, the only national game or national TV game that the Kings had in Sacramento was against the LA Clippers. The Clippers at the time were a number one seed. The Kings fell behind early, made a nice comeback, had some cool moments. Clippers ended up winning that game. Ultimately, the audience left going, Kings are a little bit exciting, but the Clippers are really, really good.
Right.
End of story. By the end of this game, the national audience should go, it's cool to see Zion, but I'm kind of tired of seeing him. I want to watch this Kings team more.
Yeah, especially, like you said, if they come in there, all guns ablazing. De'Aaron Fox is on fire. Marvin Bagley's on fire. We see buffed out Harry Giles, by the way, come in there and make that leap. Not only will it be by that time that game is, Matt, we might be seeing that earlier, before that.
Yeah.
Because 20 games, people might be over the Zion thing after 10 games. Again, Zion is so interesting because we just don't know. There's so much hype around him. I don't want to say expect him to fail, but not live up to the hype that we have put on him.
Yeah.
And so if we're, 8-9 games into the season and that hype is kind of wearing down, the Kings are ripe for the pickings to come in there.
And what happens if he's good, but the West is so damn talented that the New Orleans Pelicans are out of it by January?
Yeah. Again, it changes things. And we expect the Kings to still be in it by January.
Right. It would be a colossal failure if they weren't.
Let's be honest. It would be a huge failure. So, I think you could see the Kings get in there and sneak in on some of those times.
One more thing about the Kings' schedule specifically, then we'll talk about the national schedule before we wrap things up. The NBA has a tendency of making Kings fans wait for the fun games in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Last year, we got a lot of the Lakers and Golden State Warrior games early, which was nice. However, we had to wait until it was like February or March to see Luka Doncic for the first time.
Right.
That game ended up being relatively uneventful. The Kings and the Lakers rivalry is expected to be pretty fun this year. At least in Sacramento, we know there are going to be a lot of Laker fans out there to see AD and LeBron, and it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere. Problem is, we have to wait until 2020 for that to take place. The first time the Lakers come to Sacramento next season, February 1st. And then the last time is February 4th. The Kings play the Lakers.
April 4th.
I'm sorry. You're right. April 4th. The Kings play the Lakers in LA in November.
Right.
But we don't get to see LeBron and AD, and hopefully we will see LeBron and AD until February at the earliest.
So let me get your thoughts on this. What would you rather have, playing a team like the Lakers earlier in the season or waiting to play three or four of those games in the second half of the season?
I think it all depends on situation, right? Because the basketball fan in me wants LeBron and AD to play guaranteed. But if it's down the stretch, April 4th, and the Lakers are a lock to make it, and they might choose to rest their players on that night, that gives the Kings obviously the best chance to beat the Lakers and win at home. So what's more important? Ultimately, if you were to tell me right now and lay it out in front of me and say, the difference is the Kings making the playoffs. You can get the great game in Sacramento where AD and LeBron are guaranteed to play and it's competitive and maybe the Kings even win. Or you can get AD and LeBron not playing. The Kings definitely win the game, and that's the difference between them making the playoffs. I'm picking that one every time.
Oh, yeah, and especially going to that April 4th game. We talked about it already. If they're kind of in a lock, I want to see some load management for AD and LeBron James, yeah. Especially at the Golden 1 Center, because I want to see the faces of all the Lakers fans that paid all that money to go see AD and LeBron, only to see instead Kyle Kuzma and Rajon Rondo.
I never encourage Sacramento Kings fans to sell their season tickets to out-of-town fans, because, of course, you want the Kings to be represented as well as you can in your own building. But I also understand there are a lot of the season ticket holders that make up a significant portion of their cost of season tickets by selling those Warriors and by selling those Lakers games.
Right, of course. And
do your research ahead of time.
Yeah.
If you know that there's a good chance that LeBron and AD might not be playing because it's April 4th, sell those tickets.
Sell them, make your money, and then laugh at the Laker fans. It is a lot of fun, I promise you. It's a great time for all.
Before we wrap up, wanted to talk about the one thing we were hopeful for this year was maybe this would be the year because the Kings were so exciting that they would get a Christmas game. And I know it was a fun conversation to have. I don't think any of us expected the Kings to get a Christmas game.
No.
But they're not getting any major holiday games at all this year. They're not getting Martin Luther King. They're not getting Christmas Day. Here's the full Christmas Day lineup, Jay. Celtics at Raptors, Bucks at Sixers, Rockets at Warriors, Lakers at Clippers, and Pelicans at Nuggets. Of course, the Pelicans get a game. My question to you is, excluding the Eastern Conference matchups, which Celtics, Raptors, and Bucks, Sixers, between those other three Western Conference matchups, is there any team that you would want to take out to plug the Kings in, or are you okay with that schedule?
Meaning I can take one team out and plug them in against a team that's already in there?
Correct.
Oh, I would love to see Kings at Warriors over Rockets at Warriors. I think Rockets at Warriors kind of loses its luster now that KD is not on the Warriors.
Yeah.
Clay is hurt. That's not the same
that
Rockets
might be a,
Warriors
that might be
matchup.
A blowout. Like, we honestly, we might get a Rockets blowout.
Yeah, and again, that's just not a fun game to watch. Pelicans at Nuggets, I get it as the fifth game. I really do. But yeah, to your point, I would sub out the Rockets for the Kings.
I honestly would have loved to see Kings and Blazers.
And I would have loved to see Celtics at Nets versus the Raptors, instead of the Raptors, excuse me.
That would have been fun, too. Yeah, the Raptors are opening up their season at home against Zion and the Pelicans. So it's like, hey, new blood, this is fantastic. And it's weird. I feel like we're already disrespecting the Raptors. Like, it's going to be their ring ceremony. They just won a championship. That's fantastic. But Kawhi's gone. We don't expect that team. I mean, I expect that team to be good.
They'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, but
it's the Eastern Conference, after all.
Exactly, but I don't know. I feel like we're disrespecting them a little bit. Like, the story on Raptors championship ceremony celebration night is going to be Zion playing his first game.
Exactly. And I don't feel like that's necessarily a slight at the Raptors. It's just the Zion storyline is so much more than the Raptors getting their rings, number one. Number two, you have to – where do you expect the Raptors at this year? I'm thinking like a seven seed.
I put them in the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff picture, but Milwaukee and Boston are right at the top for me.
That's just kind of the breaks, though, when you lose arguably the best player in the league, though.
Yep.
You get that, and like to your point, it's not disrespectful so much as it's just like – yeah, the Raptors out Kawhi Leonard. It's just not much of a storyline anymore.
Yeah. Whoever wins the Western Conference Finals this year is winning the championship. The Bucks might maybe put up a fight, but, I mean, the championship is going to be fought for in the West.
Ben Simmons could ever figure out a jump shot, and Joel Embiid could stay healthy.
That's
I like
true.
The Sixers, too. But
yeah, the Sixers
again,
I disrespect.
That's a lot of stuff that has to go right for them.
Exactly. Well, it's been fun breaking down this schedule, Jay. Appreciate you coming in and taking the time. It's nice to finally have dates, and I wanted to tweet this out yesterday, but I tweeted enough. One of my favorite traditions to do that really gets me geared up for the NBA season is once the schedule comes out, there are easy ways with technology now to just import it straight to your Google Calendar and to have it. I like to go sit down at home and take 2 hours, turn on music, and manually enter each game into my schedule. It's very monotonous. It's very annoying.
Wow.
But it, to me, it gets me excited because it makes me start to plan. And I know a lot of fans are like that, where they're already looking at the schedule now and they're starting to plan. This is going to be my weekend, maybe, that I travel with the team. This is going to be when I bring my family in. We're going to get tickets. I mean, we have listeners to this podcast that are from Australia, and they fly in for certain games. Are there weekends that, oh my God, the Kings are playing the Lakers and the Clippers here in a 3-day stretch? We're coming. Like, that planning
is
already
scheduled, baby.
Yeah, exactly. That basically, we finally have light at the end of the tunnel with the schedule coming
out. And I think part of that, too, as a married man, you have to let your wife know, hey, these are the weekends I'm unavailable.
Good point. Very, very good point. I actually, my wife wanted to get married. We're celebrating our wedding anniversary September 22nd. And she wanted to get married in October last year, and I straight up told her no.
No.
I was like, that is the busiest sports month, and I'm going to be in the Golden One Center more than I'm going to be at home in October. No chance we're getting married then. Priorities, people. Make sure.
Unless you want to do it at the Golden One Center.
Well, that would not have been bad. I don't think she would have liked that very much. I would have been
Aren't weddings for the guy, not the girl?
Yeah.
No. Notice I'm not married.
Not according to her and not according to that paycheck. Jay, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate you joining me again. It's going to be a fun season nonetheless. We're definitely going to have you back on. And definitely we'll see you at the Golden One Center too from time to time to enjoy a handful of very exciting, fun Kings matchups. One thing I will say for sure is any home game for the Kings against any Western Conference opponent, even if it's the Grizzlies or the Suns, I'm going to get excited about because there's just that much talent in the West.
Yes, every Western Conference matchup is a must-see from the teams, from the 13 teams that might be competing for a playoff spot. And then it said, Phoenix, DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker. I'm excited to see what Ayton does in his second year. Booker is obviously can go for 70 at any point, so that's always fun to watch. And then the Grizzlies, man, they got a lot of great young talent on the team. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, those are going to be worth it for Kings fans to go to those games and check out those young guys because here in the next three or four seasons, there's a good chance you got the Kings and Grizzlies as rivals with their young's core. So exciting times right now in Kings basketball.
All right, Kings fans, let us know what games you're very excited about, which maybe a road trip or a stretch that you're dreading, your thoughts on the schedule as a whole, your thoughts on the national games or lack thereof for the Sacramento Kings. It's all fair game. Send it to us on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHK, at JMars with two Zs. You can reach Jay. You can also email me at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Have a fun interview coming for you later on this week, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Until next time, you have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.